Be seated. I have your Christian news briefing this morning. Several weeks ago, we brought you the incredible story of Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, died, and was buried, only to be resurrected 3 days later. We told you of how Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and some other women were the first ones to know of this miraculous event. They were the ones who told the apostles what they had seen and knew to be true. Slowly, over the ensuing weeks, more details have been coming to light about Jesus' last meal and evening with his disciples. We heard, among other things, that Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, that they should love one another just as Jesus had loved them. He went on to tell them that if they loved one another, everyone would know that they were his disciples. We heard from a reliable source that Jesus set an example of servanthood before them by washing their feet, and he told the disciples to remember him when they came together for a meal, blessing bread and wine in his name. Today, the word we hear is that Jesus prayed for his disciples prior to leaving the upper room where they were gathered. We know that Jesus is said to have prayed for others often, but this prayer was different. Some think it might have been an extension of the new commandment Jesus gave his disciples to love one another. Our sources tell us that Jesus reportedly prayed for his disciples. Then he said, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." How peculiar to learn that Jesus wasn't just praying for his disciples. He was praying for all of us, for all those that came to know Jesus through the teaching of his disciples and continue to tell the story of God's love and Jesus as Savior. There has been plenty of discussion around what it means for all of us to be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. Those reporting went on to say, Jesus continued in his prayer, "As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus went on praying for all to be one. Experts have been asked what this meant to the disciples then and what it means to us now. One commentator noted that Jesus' words refer to the cycle of faith leading to unity, which leads others to faith. Still another expert seemed to be more precise by saying that followers of Christ, all Christians, are called to unity with one another. Though there are various denominations and different expressions within those denominations, all Christians are called to be part of the family of all believers. Jesus' prayer and intention was and is for all who have heard the word of God, which has been handed down from the disciples of every generation over the years, to believe that Jesus is in and with us. Those who proclaim to be followers of Jesus agree that two things are at the heart of their faith: belief in God and proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Savior. There is unity in this statement of faith. All Christians may not be able to agree on the route to pursue to come to this personal proclamation, and that seems to be where the hard work of listening to each other begins. In fact, it has come to light that if you ask someone what shaped them into the Christians they are now, they will likely have differing responses. Not everyone finds their way to faith by the same route. Some have others who have shown them the way, while still others pursue a deeper knowledge of God in hopes that they will be found. News has it that the leadership of Holy Innocents, that is, your vestry and clergy, are engaged in studying the ideas set forth in a book called Reclaiming Christianity by Claude E. Payne. There is a statement in the second chapter which reads, God loves, Christ came to love, Christians are called to love. This sounds very familiar to what has been recorded as the new commandment Jesus gave his disciples. This sort of thinking would mean that helping others become believers of the faith is more important than, say, converting them to be Episcopalians or Lutherans or members of any other particular denomination. If we can sit down and talk about our faith with other Christians and be willing to listen to their story, our sources agree that we will be on the path to unity. So, one of the questions in part asked in Reclaiming Christianity is this: how well equipped are you to verbalize what Christ has done and continues to do for you? How can your enthusiasm bring others to know Christ in a personal way? Can we all engage in dialogue with people with whom we may not agree? Or do we only share our faith with like-minded people? Are we willing to risk learning something we may not have known, or look at things from a different point of view, even though it may be a difficult conversation? Experts feel that unity is the way to peace. All Christians being one in the Spirit, as a popular hymn goes. Is this oneness possible? Do you feel as though you are one with the disciples of Jesus' time and Jesus himself? Is denominational separation keeping us from a deeper understanding of God's love for all humankind? Are we afraid to consider the possibility that others with whom we may disagree are one with God too? Interesting questions to ponder. We can find these answers together so that we may all be one. In the week to come, we will be bringing you news of the promise Jesus made to his disciples not to leave them comfortless by sending them the Holy Spirit. Stay curious. There's more to come. May we become completely one, so that the world may know that God loves us just as Jesus loved his disciples. This has been your Christian News of the Week.